Merry Christmas. I loved Christmas when my boys were little. I found out that in the intervening time between when I was a kid and they were kids, there were all kinds of new and great toys available out there in the stores. And if you don't know this, having boys provides you with a great opportunity to go out and buy the latest and the greatest toys. And I was one of those dads who used to do just that. I would buy things for my sons at Christmas that, yes, I secretly wanted for myself. Now, because of this, my boys, Paul and Peter, scored pretty big. And they got some pretty cool toys at Christmas. We kind of joke about it in the family now, but back then they did complain a little bit that I got to play with their toys more than they did. One Christmas memory really stands out from when we lived in New Orleans. I remember Peter was almost 7 and Paul had just turned 9. And we were fortunate enough to have an in-ground pool with an attached spa in our backyard. And it was perfect for what I had in mind that Christmas, because I decided I was going to buy the boys these really nice remote control hydrofoil boats. And even though the boys thought they were cool, they were really a little over their heads, a little too complicated for them. And I had to solve that problem. So the way around it was that my friends and I decided we would play with them ourselves. After my boys went to bed, my buddies and I hopped out into the spa on a cold December night, and we raced those boats around in the comfort of the spa while they were in the swimming pool. You know, as a dad back then, I often found myself living vicariously through my boys and their toys. In fact, I considered it kind of one of the perks of being a dad. If all men were honest about it, sons really do provide a pretty convenient excuse for us to remain little boys. Some of our attempts to live vicariously through our children seem innocent enough. But at other times, we can take that desire to live through our children to irrational extremes. By attempting to live through our children, we parents can push them too hard. And this happens when parents seek to find their own sense of self-worth by living through their children. And we can really begin to confuse the accomplishments of our children with our own. Now, many parents don't see any harm in living through their children, and many have told me that, why, they're just giving their children every advantage. And I would say, sure, they're giving to their children, but what are they expecting in return? Are the gifts that we give to our children, are the things that we do for our children only for them or also for ourselves? We run our kids to all of those gymnastic lessons and soccer practices and basketball camps and martial arts classes and music recitals and swim meets and the like, because sometimes we actually want to live through our child's accomplishments. I think Christmas is a good time as parents to ask ourselves, really in the grand scheme of things, how important these activities really are. And why is it that our desire for our children to excel in earthly things seems to exceed our need to see them excel in the weightier matters as we impart the Christian faith to them, as we model the Christian life for them? In the end, our children really don't need to have all the stuff that we give them, but they do need to know about Jesus. Now, even the most loving, caring parents can innocently fall into this trap of living vicariously through our children. But we need to be aware that if we do this, we may be sending them wrong signals about the importance of life and of success. We can be unintentionally teaching our children that their value and their worth as human beings depends upon their personal performance. Why are parents tempted to live vicariously through their children anyway? I have a theory, and that is that reality has kept you and I from fulfilling many of our own dreams. Many of us had aspirations to be the class valedictorian, or the homecoming queen, or the star quarterback, or just the popular kid in school when we were growing up, but it just didn't happen. And now it's like some of us think that we get a second chance to accomplish those goals through our children. And that leads some of us to treat both the triumphs and the trophies that our children obtain as if they were our own. That can be okay, but it can also be tragic. It's tragic if we send signals to our children that we either accept or reject them based upon whether they follow our dreams and fulfill our expectations for them or not. It's pretty unhealthy if we parents communicate that merely winning first place or making the starting lineup or getting straight A's is everything in life. We can put enormous pressure on our children that way. And again, as parents, we sometimes try to justify this desire to live vicariously through our children, saying, well, we're merely providing the best for them. We rationalize that we're trying to give our children the opportunities that you and I never had. But there is such a thin line between wanting the best for our children and wanting to be our children, at least in the sense that we think we can somehow vicariously relive our lives through them. I can tell you, over my years as a pastor, I have counseled many rebellious and depressed and suicidal teens, and even the adult children of driven parents. And I can tell you there is a danger in our trying to live vicariously through our children. Now, that doesn't sound like a Christmas Eve story, but strangely enough, it is. It leads us to Christmas. It leads us to the stable in Bethlehem. It leads us to that baby born in a manger that was filled with hay. For if you and I look into the Christmas stable, we see that one child in all of human history that God actually intended for us to live vicariously through. That's why God sent his son into this world, for that very purpose, that Jesus might live a perfect life for you and for me as the sinner's substitute. Just by our believing in him and being baptized into the accomplishments of God's Son, his vicariously lived perfect life is transferred and it gets credited to you. That's why our God became flesh on that first Christmas. That is why he lived among us, so that we could vicariously live through him. Christmas is our opportunity to just sort of wonder in amazement as to why our God in Christ would choose to do this, to take all of our sins upon himself and suffer in our place for our moral failures, and then transfer his innocent life to our side of the ledger, so that that baby Jesus, who we're all excited about tonight, who knew no sin, would one day grow up and become sin for us on the cross. And then in exchange, he would give us his righteous and perfect life so that we could live in God's sight, victoriously and vicariously through him. I'm not making this up. Everything Jesus does upon entering our world has vicarious overtones. For the scriptures tell us that Christ was born of this woman Mary, that he was born under the law for this purpose, to vicariously redeem those of us who live under the condemnation of the law. We have to be careful how we preach Christmas because God didn't visit our world just to kind of see how things were going down here. But God in Christ became that baby that we adore on Christmas so that he could live the life for God that you and I were unable to live for God ourselves. All that Christ was born into this world to accomplish through his life, his death, and his resurrection, and he accomplished much, he did as your substitute. And that is the meaning of Christmas, that you have eternal life, that you have peace with God vicariously through him. And so the message of Christmas Eve is that through God's Son, not through our children, but through God's Son, we would live vicariously. Jesus is offering you his perfect life. He is offering you all that he accomplished in that life as your own. It's yours. It's yours for the taking as you receive his life this Christmas by faith. And my friends, his is a life that cannot disappoint us. For his life is the fulfillment of all of humanity's hopes and all of mankind's dreams. So that if we're going to boast, it should not be about ourselves, nor should it be about our children, but our boast is in the Lord. For Christ is our righteousness before God. He is the reason we boast. His life, lived in our place, is worth than any trillion lives combined. For all that our Lord accomplished, from the cradle to the cross, becomes yours by transference. His victorious life over sin, death, devil, grave, hell is a gift that God gives you this Christmas. And what a gift it is. In fact, it staggers even those of us with the most vivid imagination. All that Jesus achieved, he achieved for you both as surrogate man and as substitute sinner. Jesus was born into this world just so that he could later offer up his life and suffer vicariously in your place. You know, that peace and that goodwill that the angels announced to the shepherds who were tending their flocks by night. All of that peace, all of that goodwill, all of that favor from God is dependent upon God's Son living vicariously for us. For that is how God's favor and goodwill come to us. Now, without Christmas, things would be very different between us and God. If Jesus had never been born, we would still be living under the impossible expectations of our Heavenly Father. We would all fall under his just condemnation for our sins, including our attempt to live vicariously through our children. For the law only makes demands and says of us, do this or die. If you think you've ever been an overzealous parent and put too much pressure on your kids to perform, then you should try living under God's law without any knowledge of the saving gospel. For God's law holds out the most stringent expectations. It says to us, be perfect. How's that for an expectation? Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Ten Commandments hit us like a brick wall because they have these impossible expectations that we cannot live up to as God's children. In fact, we would all be a very big disappointment to our Heavenly Father if it were not for Christ. For none of us has lived up to what God expected. There are those out there in the world this night who only know God in this way as their lawgiver. They do not realize that God has given his Son sacrificially and vicariously in payment for our sins. If God were only a lawgiver, we would resist him, and we would resent his demands. So why is it that we would put our children under that kind of pressure? What if God put that kind of performance pressure on us? What if none of us knew about the babe in Bethlehem? What if we only knew about this God of law who says, live perfectly or die prematurely? God's law requires our best and nothing less, like many parents require of their children these days. And without the birth of Jesus Christ, that is the only version of God that any of us would know. We certainly don't like it when God makes his love conditional, when he bases his love for us on our personal performance. We don't like trying to live up to his impossible expectations. So why would we turn around and expect our children to do for us what we have failed to do for our Heavenly Father? It just doesn't make sense. And worse yet, what if our Father in heaven were to treat us like that? What if he attempted to live vicariously through us? What if God demanded from us those things we demand sometimes from our children and sometimes from our spouse or one another? What if there was no chance that you and I could please God? We would quickly despair, or we would become very angry with God if all we knew about God were his demands of perfection. But we thank God on this Christmas that that's not the case. We thank God that he is a God who in love has called us to eternal life and to live vicariously through that Son of his that he sent into the world this night. You see, this, my friends, is where Christmas becomes crucial to our understanding of who God is. For on Christmas, what God, yes, demanded of us in his law, God has also done for us vicariously by sending his Son. The God-man, Jesus Christ, is that one child in heaven and on earth that we can truly live vicariously through his accomplishments. That's why he came, to live that perfect life and to die that sacrificial death for me and for you. Jesus wasn't born into our world just because babies are cute, and he knew his birth in Bethlehem would make a nice story to tell in church on a cold December night. But this child was born into our dark night of sin so that he could substitute his holy and perfect and complete life for our unholy and imperfect lives. Jesus would live in our place, and later he would die in our place. And that victorious life earns us a place in heaven. It earns us the right to stand before God unashamed. His dying vicariously removes our sins so that we can live in the light of God's love forever. I'm just as guilty of this as anyone. I've told you my attitude as a parent at times. But the joy and the pride and the fulfillment that so many of us parents seek in the wrong places, vicariously through our own children, can only really be found in that one single child sent from heaven, born of Mary on the first Christmas. The hopes and the dreams that we all have are only found and met in Him. You see, we cannot find true self-fulfillment in our own achievements, nor can we find them in whatever our children are able to accomplish for us while on this earth. But you and I can find our sense of self-worth in the birth of Jesus Christ, for we live vicariously through His Son. Amen. May this joyous good news of the Savior be with you this Christmas. Amen.